Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We're going to wrap up our look at an article by Robert Kirby that was in the Salt Lake Tribune on July 12, 2014, an article he wrote, How Much Pain Does Your Faith Cause? This is an unusual article because Kirby usually writes on more lighthearted subjects, and this is pretty serious. I think he asks some very good questions. He begins by directing them at Mormons because he's of that background. He is of an LDS background. Although I don't think that he would be one of those who claims to be a very strong TBM, true-believing Mormon. He tends to poke fun at Mormon culture every once in a while, and of course that's earned him a lot of criticism from fellow Latter-day Saints. But he's asking a question here about having such a belief with such certainty that he says that reason is occasionally ordered to shut up and sit in the back. He's talking about, for instance, if you had a son or a daughter who was to come to you and announce that they were an atheist, would that cause you pain? And we get the impression that what he's trying to get across here is that if it does cause you pain, that there must be something wrong with your faith. And I don't see the connection there. But he brings up an important aspect of this. He says, but let's not worry about forever. Let's stick with right now. Do you believe you're so right that if your son or daughter had an atheism, this godless situation was brought before you, that godless belief that they now have, would it detract from a healthy and loving relationship in the here and now? And of course, we have seen that happen many times when a person comes to the conclusion that Mormonism is not true, that usually a lot of the people that were once very close to them, very loving with them, their family, their friends, tend to turn their back on them and no longer treat them with that loving relationship that they had before. That could be said in a Christian environment, but I would say that shouldn't happen. There should be, I would hope, some concern, call it pain if you will, that if someone is making a decision that we feel is not to their best interest, I would hope that it would cause pain. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the faith that's causing that pain, that worldview, is wrong. So there I would disagree, but I would say that there should be as much as lies within the person to live peaceably with all men. Now, I found with atheists, they don't usually want to live peaceably with everybody else. They can get pretty hostile about their atheistic beliefs and the mocking of anybody who has any kind of faith. And he does admit this goes both ways, so let's be fair with what he's saying. But he talks about the here and now, and then he switch gears again, and he says, every time you look at Buddy, and this is the name he gives to this hypothetical son, every time you look at Buddy now, does your unshakable faith automatically remind you that he's doomed? That this theological rift is so important that mostly you just feel sorry for him and sorrier for yourself. What is it do you think he means by sorrier for yourself, Eric? I'm not quite sure what he means by that.
It's hard to understand unless he were to be here and explain that a little bit better. But the idea that, not that I feel sorry, I feel sad. If maybe my son and daughter-in-law are raising my grandchildren in a way that I feel is not the best possible way, it's going to make me sad. It's not going to change my love for my child, but I might disagree just as much as he might disagree if his son married a conservative Republican. I mean, that might bother him at the family reunions or at Thanksgiving time when they talk about these things. But, you know, we're talking in not only for this life, I believe that having a Christian life is the best way to have a full and abundant life, but not just for this life, but for eternity. So we don't feel sorry, but we might feel sad.
He goes on to say, maybe you've decided to grudgingly accept this quote-unquote lesser buddy, that was the name, for who he is now out of the goodness of your heart, that if you can't love him the way your faith mandates, you can at least tolerantly pity him in a Christ-like way. Now, again, he's making pity as somehow negative, and I don't think that's always negative. There's certainly a false piety, which is problematic, but to pity somebody is to have compassion for them, is to be showing a genuine concern for them. And is that really always wrong? Didn't Christ pity people? He goes on to say, if so, consider the real possibility that you're an idiot. Now, why did he have to do that? Wait a minute. Because I have a genuine concern for the eternal welfare of someone, that makes me an idiot? There's a possibility that I'm an idiot because of that? Are we to the point now that we're supposed to have this grand tolerance of any and all, that nothing should bother us anymore? Mm-hmm. What did Chesterton say about that? The Catholic theologian, G.K. Chesterton.
He said, tolerance is the virtue of the man without convictions.
Is that really what we are supposed to be as humans trying to live in community? A people who have no convictions? That is not a life that I want to live. And I don't think that's a life most people want to live. Most people do have convictions. How they handle those convictions, I think, exemplifies their maturity and wisdom. And some people certainly don't handle it well, but we should.
See, I think that there's a lot of pain that comes out in this article by Robert Kirby. And I'm not sure if this is something that happened in his own personal life, and this is kind of his way to deal with it. But it sounds to me like perhaps something has happened. Maybe there is pain in his life that his faith or belief system is causing him. So it goes, again, both ways.
Well, it could be the way he's been treated by fellow Mormons, because we've read them and he's commented on them. If you go and you read some of the comments that people have made after Kirby comes out with an article, he gets treated pretty badly sometimes from fellow Latter-day Saints. So maybe he's the buddy in this scenario. I don't know. If he's listening to this show and he'd love to go to lunch with Eric and myself to explain this, we would love that. It would be on us. So if you have his ear, let him know the invitation's open. We'd love to meet with him.
He goes on and says, first, for letting theology get in the way of love, and second, for believing in a plan, God, or spirit that would condemn Buddy for being a wonderful human being, but unfortunately not a believer.
Well, see, here again, I would have a problem with that, because Paul makes it very clear that if you are to receive the righteousness or the benefits of God, that you have to be a believer in what Jesus did on the cross. He makes that very clear. And as we've talked about in another broadcast, I hold Paul's opinion, Paul's position, Paul's writings in a very high regard. I believe that he was an apostle of God. When Jesus also talks about things that are eternal, and if a person doesn't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I have to hold that position very highly as a Christian. Now, Kirby might look at that as being silly, but it's his duty to prove to me that Jesus got it wrong. It's his duty to convince me that Paul got it wrong. So I'm not going to abandon those teachings that Jesus has taught or the teachings that Paul has taught simply because another sinful human being might not agree with him. Because just because you disagree does not mean that what I believe is false.
And just because you disagree with somebody doesn't necessarily mean you hate them or want bad things to happen to them or you're going to disown them. We can disagree on a number of topics. We can be civil about it and still be very adamant that what we are believing is true and that your viewpoint is wrong. Just because a person is not a believer doesn't make them a horrible person. This buddy could very well be a nice person.
A nice, wonderful human being.
But we just don't agree on something. Why should we sweep that under the carpet and pretend it doesn't exist? That's not real. In a relationship, I don't want fakeness at the family reunions. I want to be able to talk about things in a civil manner without pretending it doesn't exist as far as differences go. Then he goes on and says another note. This also applies to non-believers who so firmly suppose they're smarter than believers that they can't relate to their loved ones anymore either. So he's kind of throwing it back to the atheists as well.
And that's fair. Yeah. And I think he's right, because it is on both sides. Atheists do that. Theists do this. As a Christian, trying to follow the teachings of Christ, trying to follow the teachings of the New Testament, I'm going to be grieved when I see someone make a decision that, according to the New Testament, means it's going to have eternal repercussions. I should be grieved by that. If I'm not grieved by that, wouldn't there be something wrong with me? Not necessarily my faith.
The way that you can know, though, that this column is not a typical Robert Kirby column is the last line. He always has a final line that shows humor. This doesn't show any humor at all when he says, "Religion, faith, gospel, church, or whatever you choose to call it, isn't just divisive because we exclude and sometimes even kill one another over it. It's also great at silently torturing loving relationships to death."
And that is left up to your own imagination as really what he means by that. But is it talking about how he is being silently tortured? Someone's doing that to him? Does he know of others that have done that to other people? It could be a little bit of both. It probably is. I would say I've probably experienced something like that.
But I mean, let's be honest. The straw man argument, sometimes even kill one another over it. People are dying in the name of religion. There's no doubt about it. There are Christian martyrs every day. You go to some of these Muslim countries, and it's not the Christians who are torturing the Muslims. It's the Muslims who are doing their best to eliminate as many Christians as possible. But as far as Christianity, we're not out to destroy Mormons and kill them and things like that. We are here because we care, honestly, that they would have an ability to understand the other side of the story.
But just because you may have adherence to a certain religious belief system and these adherents do things that are wrong, that somehow makes the religion they believe wrong. It could be. Just because you have, let's say, a Christian who does not behave in a Christian manner does not mean Christianity is wrong. I would say the same thing for Mormonism. I've seen Mormons behave badly, but I would never conclude that that proves Mormonism can't be true because I've seen some Mormons behave in a way that looks offensive or acts offensive. It would be wrong to draw that conclusion. Final thought on this would be, how much pain does my faith cause? When it comes to my own personal salvation, it causes me no pain. It gives me a lot of comfort. When it comes to the thought of loved ones or acquaintances going into a Christless eternity, I admit it does cause me a lot of pain, because I have to base that pain on the belief I have in what Jesus said, what the New Testament teaches. The point is, I don't think that necessarily is a bad thing.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.